Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking you for a special dispensation of mercy and grace upon our lives here at this time in the ministry of the Word, that you will forgive us, Lord, of every sin and release us, O God, of every thought of guilt and condemnation, so that we can be vessels who are free to receive the Word without encumbrance of whatsoever might stand in the way. And we pray, Lord, you clear all channels this morning before you so that the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts in spite of ourselves, Lord, because we know that if you came into the world and the world, having been made by you, understood and saw not 2,000 years ago, how much more would there be cluttering and encumbrance on every hand to keep away the revelation and that great freedom of liberty which is in the Spirit of God. So, Father, we just ask you now to clear all the lines for us. Knowing we stand in you complete, there is no other way about it. It is absolutely true, for you reached the zenith, literally in this hour, just waiting now for the resurrection and the rapture. And we thank you for this, Lord, that the amazing grace of God is here in an unprecedented manner. We commend ourselves, therefore, to you, Lord, at this time, believing, knowing you heard our prayer, and therefore help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I just trust the Lord will bless us in this study this morning. I am not prepared to take the time I would normally take, about 2.5 hours. So we're going to take a shorter message, a little bit relative to Christmas, and try to get you out of here early. Personally, I don't know if you're up to it, a long message, and I'm not up to it. I'm just kind of glad my throat's not any worse than what it is. Now, the message entitled this morning is, Where is the Promised One? Where is the Promised One? And we read in Matthew 2:1-2, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 4, it says, The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us and the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffer walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, before I begin the message, I want to say I'm very happy to see the Buchanics come down with the Clausens from Canada. And you'll be meeting them after church and greet them warmly in this cold climate. I think they were promised warmer weather. You didn't get it. Stick around until Tuesday, you'll have it. Wait a little longer and you'll see the grass back on the lawn, nice and green. Haven't heard it one bit. This is a lovely climate here. You just climb over a bit of snow. You'll climb it and you'll be all right. All right, the Lord bless you. It's good to have you. I know we've all waited for you to come on down. Just as old John Harris used to say, come on down, see us. We'll treat you so many ways, you're bound to find some of them you like. All right. Now, in this scripture we read in Matthew, you'll notice they said, Where is the one that is present? And over in the book of Peter, it says, where is that presence that is spoken of? Now, looking at Matthew for a little while, you'll notice that God took a literal, physical, earthly, inanimate star to manifest the birth of the living star. Now, listen carefully to what I'm saying and put it in your minds, because This is important to the rest of the message. Number one, God took a literal, physical, earthly, inanimate star to manifest or to show that the birth of the living star, that living star was present. It was a physical thing that pointed out the spiritual thing. This, of course, is merely saying, secondly, what I said firstly. A physical thing to point out the spiritual. The seen star was, as it were, an image indicating the real. I repeat, the seen star was, as it were, an image indicating the real. Now, to get what I am saying, to substantiate what I have said, we're going to go to Numbers, the 24th chapter, and verses 15 to 17, the vision of Balaam. And he took up a parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but he's not that close. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab. Now, Moab means progeny of a father, which definitely is the father of the unhuman race, Cain, the serpent, and shall destroy all the children of tumult, those that have caused chaos. Now, you'll notice that he is saying here that a star shall come out of Egypt. And that star, of course, was Christ, the one bearing the scepter, who will reign in the millennium. Now, we go to Amos, the fifth chapter. And verse 26 of chapter 5. But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, the Sheon, and Sheon your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. You have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and Sheon your images. Now what does he say that is? The star of your God, the image of your God, which ye made to yourselves. We go to the book of Acts to substantiate this. And believe me, Stephen did not memorize this scripture. It was given to him by the Holy Spirit. And he says in Acts 7, verse 43, yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, the star of your God Rephan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Now what you are seeing here is what I have already said, that the star which manifested the birth of the living star, it was a physical thing that pointed to the spiritual. The seen star was, as it were, the image indicating the real. And here, in Numbers, there is the prophecy of the reality of that one which we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Then you have running parallel the counterfeit, wherein they erected a tabernacle which was an image to their spiritual reality, which was called a star. So we're placing the star to be an image. That which is visible and util to those who have something in mind in the realm of the spiritual behind it. As Brother Branham said, you take a hand which could be called a shadow, and you put it in front of a light, and you go closer and closer to the screen until the shadow and the substance become one. So, there is an imagery here that we are looking at. Now Moses, contrary to this tabernacle of Moloch, had the revelation of the true image tabernacle. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not hard at all. See, look, listen to my words carefully. There is a false image tabernacle. There is a false image religion. There is a true image tabernacle.
Amen.
There is a true religion. See? Now, there were two tabernacles that I have given you in Scripture. One I have not read of. I can read it in Hebrews concerning the tabernacle of the wilderness. The other is a tabernacle which is false. Both are images. You understand what I'm saying now? An image is not the real thing. But it is either symbolic or will do under certain conditions. I don't have any Renoirs. I don't even have a reasonable facsimile. I wish I owned the Landseer that I've got a copy of. I could have bought it a few years ago for $5,000. I thought that Landseers were all bought up and nobody could get me. I could have bought it for five. I suppose it's worth $100,000 today. See, shows you don't use your brains, you get nowhere. You don't investigate, you don't get off the ground. Keep that in mind, religiously speaking. When I get further down the line, I have an image, so to speak, of a Landseer. It does. Because I can't get the real. But we're talking in terms not of metaphor and simple comparison. We're talking of the truth of the Word of God. Now, Israel had a star that they followed. A tabernacle unto Moloch. It wasn't to be their star. They took it anyway. Now Moses had the revelation of a true image tabernacle in the wilderness. You follow what I'm saying now? This image, this tabernacle, this star, was there to appoint them to and until the time of the real star. Because the real star was Jesus the Christ. The image star was the tabernacle. You falling out? All right. Now that tabernacle and its accoutrements. That tabernacle, what it stood for, the ordinances, even the menial things of the washing of pots and pans, certain little duties, that stood there with the blood looking to Christ. And it raised up prophets. It healed the sick. It destroyed enemies. It brought God on the spot. Just think what a little faith and little keeping of a contract could do with just an image of the real thing. Now, this is what Brother Branham kept talking about. That you and I have a problem with, but let me assure you that problem will not exist shortly. Now I speak authoritatively, and I'm sorry. I've already cleared the air that when I preach, lives get changed, or I'm not bothering preaching. If something does not happen to you this morning, I've wasted my time and wasted your time. And that sounds presumptuous, but it's not presumptuous because this is the Word of God. Already your understanding has been opened to a point. It has not been opened to a point before. Amen. So something has happened to you. Now, if the life of the Spirit is in this Word, which it is, there will be a beneficent result which is spiritual. For we are all in the image of Almighty God, predestinated to the final image. Follow me? And if you're a true born-again Christian, you're going to be just like him one of these days very shortly. Now, I said a while ago that this tabernacle, which only looked forward to, had that terrific power because it was looking forward to the real and was the image of the real. And nothing could stand before Israel as long as they just walked in the faith of that word and did not add or take from it. Now, look how tremendous that image was. Not the real. Christ is the real. But that tabernacle stood there. And long as they watched it and followed in faith, David, with 499 wives, could lust after the 500 and kill a man together in the blood of an animal, in the washing of a pot and a pan. Could cleanse him perfectly, looking down that road to Christ. What about the blood of Jesus today? You know, many people don't understand the blood. I understand quite a bit of it in this respect. But I understand what I'm talking to you about this morning. And I'll explain it to you. Listen. What if your hands were dyed with blood this morning? Your hearts are. Because if you hate your murderer, I've done a lot of murdering. How would you like to feel this morning that I could institute a little sacrifice back there at the back door, which simply meant you took off your shoes and you washed your feet? And you washed a few pots and pans. And I sprinkled some incense in a little censer with a little fire. And I said, and it was truly said, you are free. What would you feel like? Well, come on, answer me. What would you feel like? I'd ask you a question. Are you selling out the blood of Jesus Christ this morning for that image? Now, come on, you're honest people, aren't you? And you want your lives changed? Do you really want your lives changed? Do you want to get rid of your guilt this morning and your fears? Then let me tell you something. If I was back under Israel, under that star, which was emblematic of that real star that should reign and rule over sin and death and unrighteousness, and I could walk in that tabernacle with a ministering man standing there, and I could say, I killed my neighbor. I wanted his wife. I had 499 of my own, but she looked very beautiful and very lustful, very sensuous. And I'd come in, and I lay my hands upon the head of a sheep. And the priest slits the throat of the sheep, sprinkles the blood. He said, you're free. I was free.
Amen.
If the image could do it, what about reality? The blood of Jesus Christ alone perfects the bride. See, you can't get away from it. That tabernacle, with its ordinances, was the image star of the true star, Jesus Christ, to come and fulfill all. Where there is to be, through him, not a continual offering of sacrifices which make you mindful of the sinful person that you are, but a once for all. Where at a certain time, in his presence, all guilt is removed. And a person knows that he or she is justified because he said so. Now, Israel muddied the image. They induced under Ahab false doctrines and false gods. And they were carried away into captivity. They learned some lessons in captivity. For there they repudiated idolatry. Such idolatry is bowing down to images, sacrificing their children, all those things they should not have done. But they still lost out. Because they turned the word of a prophetic revelation into their black book of creeds and dogmas and codes, which became the interpretation of the word. When God interprets his own word by manifesting, they became a religious organization. And once more, they sullied the image. So that by the time the true image of God, that the true image of God star, now watch, that by the time the true image of God star came, Israel was bankrupt spiritually, just the same as Micah 5. You don't have it. Now let's see this star of God. Hebrews 1, God who at sundry time and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets hath these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, even the express image of his person. The star of number 24 is a tabernacle. The true tabernacle of God, if which we enter into, we become a part of that worship of God through the Holy Spirit ministering to individual believers, which will be the true word of Almighty God. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Reading also of that same one. Verse 8, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch. An angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. That bright light, they became afraid. The angel said, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, universally, Gentiles, Jews. For unto you, Israel is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, with the angel multitude, heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 to 9, or at least 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's the star that rises out of Jacob, the express image of God. Now, it doesn't say that he is God, for an image is not the original. This body of Jesus was born, brother, sister. It was what was in him, in that tabernacle that was God. There's a big difference. But remember, as I've told you already, that when God said, let the beast come out of the ground, let the earth bring forth the beast. The earth didn't bring forth the beast. The earth merely clothed the beast. The beast was there. And so when you saw a horse, you didn't see a horse. You saw attributes. A horse was designated horse. And so it is when you see Jesus, he's the attributes of God. So when you saw him, you saw God. But you didn't see God. You saw attributes. You don't see Lee Vale. You remember me, of course, in your mind and by pictures and things, but you really don't. There's no way, because when I'm gone, I'm gone. This is just a carcass. All right, listen. Here's this one. And his name shall, now he's a son is born. A son is given. The government's going to be upon his shoulders. His name's going to be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Why is he called that? Because that's the attributes that lay in God. And those attributes became flesh. So God became visible through attributes. Attributes are characteristics which distinguish. And this man was distinguished. The increase of government and peace, there's going to be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish the justice from henceforth. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. It doesn't say he will do it. It says God will do it for him. All right. That star came. As it was supposed to come. Over there born in Bethlehem. Now, Israel knew it was supposed to be that way. They knew this was Messiah. They knew where that great one was to be born. But when it came, it took outsiders who could be used of God to reveal the presence. That's why it says over here in John, the first chapter, verses 10, 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. No, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. Now listen, Israel knew that there was to be that presence of Messiah. Yet that Messiah came and was missed because he came according to the word. But as Brother Branham said, not according to their understanding of the word. Their revelation was wrong. Because they came together and said, let's figure it out. Let's figure it out. we'll just take all the scripture. Like, not Eidershine. Who were those two brothers outside the Raiders that made such a big name and wrote those big Bibles about the millennial Bible and all this kind of stuff? And you look at it, in my heavens, I was only about 22 and I saw my first one, and I began thinking over the wisdom and the wonder that lies in there, and it was just like a ball of cotton candy. They thought they could take scripture and pile scripture with scripture and pile it line by line and make it come out right. And first thing they begin adding and interpreting and thinking strange thoughts and putting them in there like Israel. How far can you walk and how many nails in your shoes before you desecrate the Sabbath? Yet they'd have no trouble pulling an ox out of the ditch. And I'm sure they had no trouble making $20 if there was a chance to make a Sabbath or no Sabbath. I don't think they've changed any since then. Israel's revelation was wrong. That is why the church is built on revelation. If Israel missed God, now listen. If Israel missed God by missing a revelation, we will make it by a revelation. Now, I can say that 100 times. But if you sit with your creeds and your dogmas, you're throwing up a block and you'll be changed, but for the worse, because you won't leave here unchanged. I cannot make a statement like this. Now, I know you challenge me, but I'll meet you down the road, honey. Don't worry, I'm prepared. The church is built on revelation. If Israel missed him by lack of revelation, and we have revelation, we will not miss him. Okay. The wise men had the true revelation. What was evidential got them there, because the evidence was a scriptural evidence. I gave you a scriptural evidence. You, Brother Dale, where is it? Brother Branham said it's in the Bible. I gave it to you. The tabernacle was a star. See? Those wise men were foreigners to Israel, but they knew Scripture. I think Brother Branham said in one place that they were the sons of Abraham by another wife other than Sarah. He wanted the sons of Keturah. He called them part of the Medo-Persian group that brought forth these, he called them astronomers, but they're really astrologers, and yet they are astronomers. Astronomer merely looks and tells what he sees. And if he sees it long enough, and it works in a certain area or orbit, he then makes a presentation of his material, and he says, these are how things will be. If an astrologer is a true magi, has the prophetic blood in him, prophetic spirit, he could look at the stars, and he would know things that the astronomer could not know. Because, you see, God's first Bible was in the stars. Now, I don't look at the stars at all, because you know what God told me, to get my eyes off things in heaven, things in the earth, things in the church world, get it nowhere but in the Word. And this is where I intend to keep it, because that's the only safe place there is. Now, these wise men had a true revelation, and they were following what they had, which would end in a reality. Now we go back to 2 Peter again. And we read the 3:1-4. Now the second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, there's not one of us here, but we've heard the tapes, read the books, and forget what we heard and what we read. Then we hear it again and read it again, and we say, ha, I kind of forgot that. I won't forget it next time. I wish it were true. So our minds need to be stirred. And Brother Branham did a great job constantly stirring our minds concerning the hour of Elijah the prophet. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts. And what are they going to do? They are going to be derisive concerning His presence. Why, I'd imagine when those wise men came in, they said, as Brother Branham said, why, he said, you must be a bunch of fanatics. What fanatical cult are you following anyway that you're talking about a Messiah being born? Why, great Caesar's ghost. Ain't no such thing going on around here. Now we know He's going to come in. Certainly we know that. But not the way you say it. We got it all figured out. Why, they thought they were crazy. That's it. Brother Branham was very correct on that. And it says right here, there's going to come scoffers. And those scoffers are going to zero in on the presence. Peter calls it age of scoffers. You hear what I'm saying? Peter calls it age of scoffers, and Jesus calls it age of the false anointed, the false prophets. So these mighty gifted men are going to rise up and tear the prophet's message of the presence down. I could say something really start the ball rolling. Instead, when you hear about it, you will know this. A certain preacher has publicly declared, and it is on a tape, and I can procure the tape for you, that he wants a man with discernment in his pulpit, in his church. When Brother Branham categorically said, and I am witness, and more than a witness, because you explained to me very thoroughly, and I'm going to tell you, you challenged me. Come up here beside me. I don't think the pillar of fire is going to come down and kill either one of us for lying. Or calling a bluff. But I'll meet you down that road. He said that any man outside of his ministry did not have that true anointing. And my understanding absolutely is this, that anyone who tries in a public ministry is false anointed. Amen. Scoffers. False anointed. Walking after their own lust. Good old Eve got all stirred up for a little adultery. And the church is getting stirred up for spiritual adultery. And when it goes, it'll burn with the chaff. Zeroing in on His presence. They'll either take the doctrine and distort it, or they'll have to lie somehow, somewhere down the road. Because the question of His presence is what the gates of hell is against. I'm going to preach on it one of these days, and you're going to be surprised what's all happening, what's going to happen. But I want to tell you something. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, there is to be a presence again. It is to be well known that there will be a presence. In the light of even what I've just said, I never said it wouldn't be well known. I said it'd be scoffed at. It'd be jeered at. Be misunderstood. Falsely interpreted. And since I think about an 1870 or earlier, I'm not sure. There has been much said of a secret rapture, which is supposed to be His presence. Now, the devil knows the Bible. Why, he understood way before the rest did what was going to happen, because he was privy to much of what was going on in heaven way back there before he's kicked out. And he still gets up there, I guess, in the presence of God when he wants to. Evidently, that's true. Book of Job proves that. But you see, the doctrine of the rapture being the present. And it's not that there's not a rapture. There is a rapture. And it's secret. And it's before the great tribulation of 3.5 years. But you see, a certain Scottish girl spoke in tongues and interpreted. And said there'd be a secret rapture. And Darby took it up. And Schofield took it up. And the church took it up. They listened to a woman. And she's all wet. Now they listen to the church. And it's drowning now in the slop of his own imagination. They couldn't wait for a prophet. What's wrong with the churches to say they believe this message that they can't wait? Why can't they wait for that sweet spirit to move into the church? But they want to prove that somebody has gifts. What does that prove? Balaam had a gift. And he died fighting Israel and is lifting up his eyes in hell even now, as far as I know the word of God. And his prophecy still endures. Where will your prophecy take you? Did we need a woman to tell us about a secret rapture that is called the presence? I hope not. For the word of God manifestly declares, as we read many, many times to you in Ephesians 1:17, that the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him would come into the church. Now listen. Again, as in the first appearing, the second appearing is missed. Not that the second is not as manifested or as documented. Even more manifested and even more documented than the first. But it's missed. Now, if Alpha is Omega, then Hebrews 13:8, the same as day and forever is true. Specifically, analyzed to be Ecclesiastes 3:14-15, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. Now, I want you to notice, moreover I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, and iniquity was there. Now, in other words, God never changes essentially, and what he does never changes essentially, and how he does it never changes essentially. So therefore, if men know that, and they ever learn the ways of God, they have no trouble. Now then, if Alpha is Omega, which it is, and he's the same yesterday and forever, in his essence and in his doing, there will have to be a star, something physical that spots and places the true spiritual. Now in seven church ages, there have been seven men that are the true vicars of Christ. But this goes far beyond that. One man or seven men altogether or 7 billion altogether would never take the place of that Christ. See? Now, the proof that though there have been 7 vicars of Christ, 7 literal representatives of the Holy Spirit bringing the Word, because they're the 7 stars, which are the 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits, one in each age. That in itself won't do it. There is a presence spoken of. Revelation 10, Verse 1, verse 7. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, and that's got to be the one on the throne of Revelation 4. Because God alone has the rainbow. So that mighty one, headship in heaven, has come down with a little book open in his hand. And watch, verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be completed. The gospel runs out to the Gentiles. So it's the seventh messenger's age wherein he will be present again. Okay? Now, both the messenger, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, and the seventh church age messenger are on earth at the same time. Now, the Revelation 10 and 7 messenger might trumpet his presence. In other words, preach on it day and night. Weave the scripture back and forth. Won't do one bit of good. Because it's merely a declaration. Anybody can declare anything. Rutherford in 1914 declared that he was here, but he wasn't. Rutherford was very clever later on. He built a great big house in Hollywood or somewhere for $50,000. That back in Depression be worth several million today, I guess. And of course, it was built for him who was present, but he wasn't using any part of the room, evidently. He couldn't tell, so Rutherford moved in. Very tricky. Was he here because Rutherford made a declaration? By no means. Would it be a fact that because William Branham said he was here, that he was here? By no means. By no means. There's got to be a star. There's got to be an evidence. All right, the true star was the true tabernacle, the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh. But the body is risen and cannot come down until the millennium. Therefore, if he is here, he is present in spirit. And he will have to do what he did when he was here in flesh to prove himself exactly as he did in Acts, the second chapter. But we won't bother with that. We'll go to the third, where the man got healed. And Peter said in verse 12, why do you look on us and marvel? As though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he determined to let him go. You denied the Holy One, the just, desire to murder, be granted you. Killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised the dead, were witnesses. And Jesus' name, through faith in Jesus' name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Jesus hath given this man this perfect soundness. Now he said, there it is. The evidence of his resurrection lay in the duplication of the ministry which Jesus said, I do not do the works, but my Father does them. Now, let's just read on to verse 19, as he said, if you repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, period. That ends the Jews. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, that which is visible to the eye. Now, nothing of God is visible to the eye, no way. Even the prophet only has a vision. For no man can see God and live. Just vision, far as I know. Allowed to see an exterior, some kind of a covering, like a hulk or something. Put it that way. The veil, to see the veil, but nothing else. Jesus said, if I had not done the works none of the man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated, both me and my Father. What did they see? They saw the works which designated that the Father was there, even as Jesus said, believe me, that I am in the Father, you and me, believe me for the very work's sake. Now he said, there would come from the presence of God this great revival.
He said, even then, she still won't come, for the heavens must retain him until all things are restored as God wants them. Now notice, he says here, there shall be something visible to show you the presence of God. And over here it says you won't see Jesus Christ until a later time. So therefore, as was indicated in the Gospels, through the ministry of the Father in the Son, showing who was present, the same obtains in this very hour. Now listen, what is that presence doing here at this moment? What is he doing? Because he is here. We go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and we begin to read and see what he's doing. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Now that is not the Lord Jesus Christ in human body, that is Christ, because God raises the dead and God is spirit. You can't find one place in Scripture where Jesus Christ himself in human body literally brings about a resurrection unto immortality. Nowhere. When God in human flesh raised that dead Lazarus, he died again. So the resurrection takes place by the Spirit of God. Paul himself said, dost thou think of the things strange that God should raise the dead? All right, listen. At the time he comes down in order to perform a resurrection, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now listen, for he must reign till all enemies under his feet. All right, hold your finger there and go back to Isaiah 9 again and read it with understanding. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, all the attributes of the increase of his government, peace shall be no end. From the time he died and rose again, the flock began coming in from the other fold, the Gentiles coming more and more. Now listen, the increase of government, peace shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom ordered, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth. Listen, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. Who's doing it over here then? God. Who's he doing it for? David, our David sitting on the throne, our high priest Melchizedek, there he is, he's doing it for him. Now listen, for this one must reign, God coming down and beginning to assert his authority by taking up the loose ends and taking back what he released. Okay? What God then put onto a free moral agency is no longer a free moral agency. If you're predestinated as one of them, you're going to make it. So I'm going to fight against God. Fight all you want. Israel's a backsliding heifer. What's a backsliding heifer? Very easy. The farmer digs his heels in. The heifer digs her heels in. Who do you think is going to win? I'll win if I'm a farmer. I've got to bust the brains out of that lousy calf. So I'm going to dig my heels in, digging in. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't pay. I dug my heels in. Forget it. All you get is a sore neck, broken back, and blistered heels, and then the remorse that you are such an idiot. Which is a whole lot worse than what you go through. For he must reign till all enemies are under his feet. You know every enemy of yours is being put down today? Yeah, every enemy is going down drain. You know the saints are going to judge the world? You don't believe that.
Amen.
Some of you nod your head. You really don't. I'm glad you nod your head as though you do. Because you see, you've already been made an instrument of judgment through this word. No weapon that is formed shall prosper against you. And every tongue that rises in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. No guilt.
Hallelujah.
No fear. See, the reason I said to you a while ago, I'm glad you shook your head and you're up, because you see, God spoke to me. Yeah. He told me to do certain things. When he knew that I would do it. And I liken myself to Abraham in this respect. He said, I know Abraham will bring his kids up right. He's my friend and he'll do what's right. God knew my heart that I would do what he told me to do. And before I did it, he said, that won't satisfy. It didn't. So I learned what it was to go the extra mile, to give the extra coat, to turn the other cheek. And he said, you have become an instrument of judgment. I didn't ask for it. Now listen to me, I'm serious this morning. You see, you look at old Evail up here, and look, I get out of the boat, I just cruddy as I am up here. And I laugh and I kid, and I don't even want to talk about spiritual things hardly, and I go my way. And I'll even blow my stack of things, so not at you so much, maybe some of the things you do. And you say, what does Evail know? Evail knows nothing, I've told you all along. And Levail has nothing, I've told you all along. But I got a God. And he talks to me. Now you might not think that. That's okay by me. I'm not trying to sell you on Levail. But I'm telling you the truth this morning. Your lives are going to change. 2 years ago, I said, a certain series. The church would go forward and back by the grace of God. God gave you another chance. Let me tell you something. This morning you're going ahead or you're going back. Not because Levail is here, but the Word of God is here. You say you take some kind of authority. I don't take any authority. I just tell you what I believe God told me. If that wasn't God, I'm sorry for me. And I'll answer for you. But I'm not lying to you. Because it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus is on the throne. The seals have been ripped off. And God has started something. And the beautiful part is, headship of God has now assumed the entirety, for the head of the bride is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. Who's here? God's here. What's he doing? Bringing the head and body into one glorious member. I and my Father are one. And we're all one together. And that sweet spirit of love is soon going to come in the church, my brother, sister. And there'll be no tongue wagging then. And no throat cutting. And nothing devious. And as I've said before, I spilt my guts up here. But some of you people in the congregation, you men right now, you're afraid to. You're afraid. You're still running scared. You're still running scared. My wife doesn't like me spilling my guts. But I tell her, honey, it's going to be screaming from the housetops. I want to beat them to it. You want to probe and ask me questions? I've warned you, you'll die if you ask the wrong ones. You say, Levail, who are you? I ain't nobody. I'm talking in your stead this morning for God, letting you know what is here is for every single person. I am not unique. Did God say Levail is bride and he's going to judge the world? He didn't say that. But he said, you become an instrument of judgment. I didn't ask for it. See, what your testimony means nothing. Fine. Doesn't mean anything to you. We'll see what happens down the road. For Brother Branham said, as he came out of his trance, somebody's got to tell him. If I'm part of that somebody, I'm going to do it. Putting all things under the feet of Jesus. I didn't know a head had feet. I thought a body had feet. And where is all things? Under the bride. You own it all, my brother, sister. The thing is, you're not manifested yet, so you got to wait a little while. The will's been read, made public. I'm glad we know what's going on, brother, sister. Everything is coming under God but God himself. Costing him entire authority. Listen. This is exactly what the prophet taught in Revelation 10:6-7, and swear and live forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that are in the earth, things that are in the sea, that are in there, the time should be no longer. But in the days of the voice, the seventh messenger, when he comes starting and sounding his word, every mystery comes to light. Now go back to the 7 days of creation, 6 days of creation. Let there be light, light. I don't remember the days, I'm not going to read them to you. Waters to appear, earth is to appear, this is to appear. Everything in its season, and when spoken, it happened. Now in this hour, that which is spoken is happening. Every loose mystery that wasn't fulfilled as per revelation because the hour was not yet. And therefore the mystery itself could not be fulfilled because the hour was not yet. It is that hour now, and there is nothing that's not being fulfilled. Now, I don't care what you say. Say, Brother Vale, I just don't feel that way. And if you don't feel that way about me, it's not difficult to understand because you're still back in disbelief. For the prophet said it is not character. And yet their preacher brethren deluded by Joe Coleman, who believe the thunders are virtues. That's character. But he said it's not character.
Right, yeah.
Then Joe Coleman lied.
That's right.
Now you say, Brother Dale, I've looked at you. I don't like your character. I caught you, you see. You're an unbeliever. Now, it's not that a man shouldn't have character. We all got character, but such character. Ask our wives and husbands talk about the women. You will say, well, it should be fruit. Now, you're in unbelief again because the prophet said it wasn't fruit. The great thing coming. The prophet himself said seven ages had seven virtues. But at the end, love, God himself came down.
Hallelujah.
Then why is Joe Coleman trying to get love into a church? Love is already here. God.
Hallelujah.
Hey. Can you take virtues and compare it to him? Can you take character? Can you take nearness to God? Eli. You talk about a corny rascal. He didn't mind his kids messing with women right in the tabernacle gates. How low down can you get? You know, this is a very bad century you live in. Yet how many were not horrified to know that two people in the Chicago riots, a young man and woman, got down and openly committed adultery? Oh, that blows your mind. And how does it blow your mind Eli let his boys mess with women in the gates of the tabernacle? Yet Eli was very near to God. He walked in with blood, where God is in the Holy of Holies. Are you changing this morning?
Amen.
I'm not changing you. I don't have a thing for you. See, I never changed myself. A hand came down one day, and I suddenly knew something had happened. We got men sitting here know what I'm talking about. You say, what about women? I don't have much to do with women, but they're being changed too. Now, because of Revelation 10, it is now Revelation 22, the last chapter. Verse 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophets in this book for the time of time. Every prophecy is open at this hour. You say, Brother Vail, I don't understand it. I don't care if you don't understand. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about it's all over. I'm on my way. Okay, where are you going? Where he is. Because I expect him to take me with him. Yep. And where the token is applied, that will go to. Yeah. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Nobody's going to get saved anymore. He that is filthy is filthy still. Nobody's going to get saved anymore. He that is righteous still. It's over. He can't backslide. He can't go down. There's nothing will move him. He's been declared righteous.
Hallelujah.
You can't even put a finger on him. Or you say, well, he hasn't got character. And God says, shut up and stand back. Well, I don't like the way that man treated. Shut up and stand back. Abraham wasn't too much either. He said to his wife, he said, I'm kind of scared of that Abimelech guy. He's young, foxy bird. And I may not look 100, but I am. He said, you sure don't look 90. He said, you look sweet 16. He said, you better pretend you're my sister. Well, it was true. It was a half-sister. Half-sister better than no sister, I guess. So. Which in that case was the truth. So he said, okay, I'm the sister. Poor old Abimelech, God got to him at night and said, you're a dead man. He said, the whole bunch is dead. He said, why? Why? What in the world? He said, you got another man's wife. Oh, he said, come now, how can I have another man's wife? That's his sister. He said, he just told you that. He lied to you. Oh. Oh, why am I a dead man? Because you didn't ask me in the first place if you could have her. The sinner will come into judgment, my brother and my sister. By simply being in the presence of men of God, women of God. That young fellow should have known something. He must have blinded his eyes somewhere, and God said, you're dead, and your whole tribe's dead. Seminally speaking, that meant there'd be no more children, period. They'd all be gone. The tribe's finished. He said, that man's my prophet. I'm going to go further. We'll get you out of here by 12:30. Which is pretty good for me, as per time. My throat isn't completely shot yet. But I want to read you something here. In the 17th verse, as it's written concerning Abraham, the father of all, I made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed. Now listen, you didn't catch it, did you? You catch it? Before him, that's God, whom he believed, who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were, who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith that he might become what God said he was, and being not weak in faith and consider not his own body now dead, and he's about 100 years old, and yet did send his Sarah's womb, stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he promised able to perform. Now, when did that happen? And how did it happen? It happened when God came down. Until that hour, there could not be a fullness of faith. There could not be the full persuasion. Because full persuasion could not be until God himself came down and delivered. Now, just a minute. I want you to notice something here. That even though it does say before him who believed, you notice that Sarah did not believe. She didn't understand. That's the church. Couldn't get it into her understanding at that point. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. That though you may look for something which is tremendous in the realm of the miraculous, the powerful, though I'm not saying those things cannot happen. So when you look for the stupendous in fruit and in character and in obedience and nearness to God and all of those things, it is not any of those things. It is that final faith in the presence of God. Brother Branham's constant theme song, only believe. Only believe all things are possible. Only believe. Let me see if I can find you where that's taken from. I know that Rader didn't know where it was taken from. I know Brother Branham didn't know where it was taken from, but I know Levi Emler was taken from, so I looked it up. I'm not boasting, just telling you. I don't know how I even found this. For this is when the angel came to the Virgin Mary and told her about her cousin Elizabeth, already having conceived, and how she was going to conceive now. And the Scripture says in verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," and the word "with" means actual presence. Have you given up trying to be a better person? Nobody really does, but you know you're never going to make it this side of the resurrection. Have you come to the place where you're fully obedient? You say, "I wish I were." Are you the place where your cup of fruit is filled up and you're such a righteous, a paragon of, of righteous virtues that people look back and say, "I know that's a real man of God"? You say, "Hardly." Would you like to be? Well, just a minute now. The one that brought about that birth we're talking about, commemorating Christmas, the angel said concerning him, "When he is here," and he was there, that, or she wouldn't have got pregnant. He was there to create that sperm and egg in her womb. All things are possible. So, Brother Bale, Brother Branham said, "If there's just one going to make it, I'm supposed to believe I'm that one." Absolutely. Well, how can I do it? All things are possible. How can I stand guiltless? All things are possible. How can I have no fear? All things are possible. Of course, the one that stumped me the greatest, and I'm over it. How can there be that sweet spirit of love? All things are possible. He told me so. Yep. Now, so the three wise men followed the physically evidential by their senses until they came to reality. Because it was based upon the Word. So we too, in our hour, are fulfilling John 14. Jesus said, "I am the life, and so on no man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll do." And Jesus said, "I've been so long with you, if you have not known me, Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Now listen. What was the evidential? "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak, and I speak not of myself, the Father is on me." Now listen, doeth the works. The works are the evidence of the speaking. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." And he said, if you can't go that far, then take the evidential, take the evidence. As Brother Branham said, the words of a man will not do these things that come out here so perfectly. He said, "I'm not here testifying to myself. I'm not here declaring myself. I'm telling you there is one present." The works that are ever so perfect. So we fulfilled John 14:17. We knew something was happening, something was there, because we saw the works. And we knew it was there as it was not previously there for 2,000 years. We knew it was there. And then one day the light began to break as the prophet began to preach. As in Luke 17 and 20, when he demanded the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, "And then the kingdom of God cometh, but not with observation. It'll be there, but you won't know it." He said, "You had all the scripture concerning Bethlehem, concerning the shepherds, concerning everything, the miracles and all." He said, "It was all there, and you've turned it all down. You've even made me a devil." He said, "You missed it then, you're missing it now." And you're going to miss it today. "Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there." In other words, it won't do any good. It's under your nose, and if you miss what's under your nose, there's no use going anywhere to try to find it. If God doesn't show it, you nobody's going to show it to you. And he said, "The time of the days will come, and you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it." Now listen, he's not talking to them. He's talking to you and me, and somebody had to record it. For he said their generation would kill him. This generation can't. It rejects him. Now it says, as was in the days of Noah, so shall the days of the Son of Man be, eating and drinking, so on, days was in the Sodom, fire and brimstone fell, even thus will be the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That word is apocalypse, is when he's revealed. And the same thing you said in Matthew about him being there to be revealed. I want to ask you a question. If they didn't know him when he appeared in flesh, would they know him today if he appeared in flesh? No way. No way. A pair of gloves would take care of the hands. A pair of shoes would take care of the feet. And a hat band would take care of the marks of the thorns. So how would you know him? How would you know his presence? And the scoffers will come. And the leader say, that's a lie. The word says this. Or they say, what are you trying to tell us about a prophet in the presence of God, this Revelation 10? We've got everything he had. We've got the same ministry. In fact, it's even greater. If he was Elijah, then the company of Elijahs are greater and better. But it says the same day, the same day, that God pulled Noah out. As the same day he pulled out Lot. That's when the tribulation sets in. And it's all over. Talk about a Christmas. Talk about a revelation. What a day of assurance we have. Not as when those wise men were aware of the presence and could not find it and no one could tell them. But someone pointed to the scripture back there in Micah and said, look toward Bethlehem. Then they went out of town. And the scripture says when they left Jerusalem, where nobody could tell them anything, they saw the star and they got very happy. Something happened. I'm not going to read anymore, look. I saw his star. I saw the miracles. I saw that little man go to Canada back in 1947. I saw him. He stood before that crowd and he said, we can do something different tonight, he said. He said, we can bring me 24 of your worst cases. I'll guarantee miracles for all. Or you can put them all through the prayer line where 60% get healed. Now, he said, you that hold the prayer cards, he said, you're the ones that's going to vote. He said, do you want to see the 24 miracles or do you want to come through the prayer line? How many want to see the miracles? Hardly a hand went up, if any. I don't remember one. I couldn't vote. But he said, how many but cards want to go through? And they went them all through. And then there wasn't one missed. There could have been as many as 1,400. I don't know. Look, I don't know. But there could have been as many as 1,400. 60 times more than 24. And they said, oh, didn't somebody tell me that fellow's Jesus' name? Yeah. There has to be a skunk at the garden party somewhere. Yeah. They sneered and spit. What's so bad about Jesus' name? They're making him God when the Bible says that he's a man. One mediatory man and God, the man Christ. He's, look, I didn't write the book, I just believe it. They don't know what his name is. They don't know who he is. But I'm going to tell you, if they'd have stood back and just watched the evidence, they'd have seen it would have led to reality, would have taken you right to him, God, standing there. Because Jesus said, I don't do those works. It is the Father that does them. And when he pointed the only way there was to the Father, they said, get rid of him. And in the last day when a prophet stood there and God did those mighty works, they turned those works right around with the charismatic anointing. But their character is void because it's all works, not grace at all. Yes, brother, sister. I know this isn't really a Christmas message because I got no proof the wise men came on Christmas Day. But you can't have a Christmas hardly without talking about the wise men. And I'm not going to talk about any message anymore unless I can talk about He is here. Because I'll only talk about Him not being here when I'm up there telling somebody He was here. The wise men saw His star. They saw that physical which was to lead to the reality. And I saw a little messenger stand there with the signs and wonders of God. And I couldn't stop crying. My life was changed, turned back to God by Elijah who stood there. It wasn't turned to William Branham. I've always loved him, respected him, but look, you can't worship a man. He wasn't worth worshiping anyway. Let's get right down to it. It was the God that he pointed to. John the Baptist didn't say, look at me, worship me. He said, here's the one right there. There's the one. And so we saw a star in our hour. A physical evidence of the presence of reality. And though you may be disconsolate this morning, and you're wondering why there is a plateau where we've sort of leveled, let me tell you something. Nothing has leveled. He's bringing all things under and into perfection. And when that sweet spirit moves into the church, and it will, my brother, my sister, nobody lie to you, because the prophet said he believed it. And I can't believe him believing anything unless he had reason to believe it. And I've read the scripture and I've listened to him talk. And I've got my own evidence that it's 100% correct. And he said when that sweet spirit moves in, the gifts, as it were, will be on the shelf. Then you watch the healings. You watch the vertical go into the horizontal. You watch the transparency. I won't have to get up here and preach my vulgar sermons on spilling your guts. I know you don't like that, but I like it. First of all, it's a little crude enough to make you sit up and sink. And secondly, you know, it's the only way I can put it because it's going to get to you. One day there's going to be a big movie projector screen on the wall. By the grace of God, not for me, Lord, not for me. I'm spilling it all here. I'm sending my sins on ahead. I want everything under the blood. Everything confessed. I want it all in the open. Because I've seen His star. And I'm convinced that He is here. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Let's rise and sing. Let's sing that song. Oh, come all ye faithful. You got a hymn book here? Who's going to play for me? Pete, you get your guitar, hit it on the guitar. That's a Christmas song. What's the number? What is it? 78. 78. I'll get it to you right here. Right here. Be faithful, joyful. Verse, and that's all we're going to sing. We'll sing the chorus again. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. How? Because God's put every enemy under our feet. When you triumph over the enemy, you're in the driver's seat. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. That's house of the bread of God. That's what we're living on this morning. Come and behold Him. Listen, this hymn had to be written for this hour. I don't care if it was written way back there in 1751 or something like that. Doesn't bother me at all. Everything, as far as I'm concerned, is written for this hour when He is here. Oh, come, let's sing that chorus again. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore. I can always remember how Brother Branham reiterated, constantly brought us back to our faith in an end-time messenger with the presence of Almighty God. And I've tried to be faithful to that this morning, so you might understand that you have it all the evidence. You've been led by a star just the same as those wise men. You might have been out there out of the house of God, out of the ark of safety, like we all were, ready for condemnation because of the condition we were in. But God sent a star. And it was that proof that He was here, that it was God Himself. A man ministering that word to reveal the things of Almighty God makes you to know that you stand there. Don't let your faith down this morning or any other time, brother, sister. There's everything to lose by letting your faith go. And there's everything to gain by keeping your faith up. It's a million times easier to believe than not believe. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth of my heart this morning. It may not sound too anointed. I'm not worried about how I feel. The point is, what is truth? They said that back there in the days of Jesus, what is truth? Then turned around, washed their hands, and walked up. We're not in that place this morning. We know Him who is truth. Yes, sir, we do. We're in a different category. We're at the end time, brother, sister. And it's been proven you're not walking now in theories anymore. Understand that you're not walking on a theory. You're not walking on a premise. Listen, we are the pillars in the church of the living God. And a pillar is part of the foundation. And the pillar holds a roof up. So we're part of the original revelation. We're not out there somewhere out of the ballpark. We're not out there somewhere as though we're Samaritans in between the Gentiles and the Jews. We're not out there in some kind of a limbo. No, it's bright. Fully identified through the great identifier Himself. Oh, listen, brother, sister. This is so much different. Oh, yes, it's time to go your way, eat the fat and drink the wine. It's time to rejoice. Yeah, I think Brother Branham made a statement. Some brother's telling me he made a statement. As far as he can remember, Brother Branham said if John wasn't convinced that there was going to be a rapture, a resurrection, why, he would have said, eat, drink, and be merry. He said, just live it up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a resurrection shortly, and by the grace of God, I'm going to miss it. I'm not going to die. I don't say I won't die. But by the grace of God, I'll be standing here to get changed. I believe that for every one of you standing this morning. It's not that there's not going to be a resurrection. We don't want it. It's that we don't want to die. Because He's here to keep us from dying. Now, if we die, that's great. I'd be happy to die tomorrow. Don't misunderstand. But look, my mind will not let that word go. My faith will not let that word go. I'm standing like Abraham. I'm looking for that city. He's still looking. But He's looking back there, and He believed it back there for that hour. I'm believing this hour. This is when that city comes into view. Do you believe that? It sure does. The city comes into view. So, brother, sister, listen. This is the greatest Christmas ever. Why? Because we're one year closer home. Greatest Christmas ever. More assurance. More everything. Yeah. More of it. That one that Brother Branham said has come, the spirit of wisdom, the revelation knowledge of Him, has placed us. Don't be shaken. Don't look at dates. Don't try to figure out numbers. Get away from all of that. Just get to this word here and say, hey, I see something in this word belongs to me. Lord bless you now. I'm going to take a whole message on that, what I just said a minute ago now. Look in this word and see what's yours. And I'll show you even how to turn every negative into a positive. You say, are you doing it, Brother Vail? No, but by the grace of God, I can. No, I'm going to lie to you. When God gives you a key, He wants you to open that door. The keys are in our hands tonight. The revelation. The gates of hell will not prevail against us who have the keys to turn that door to immortality. Stand with it, brother, sister. Cut your eyes around. You'll never get out of here. One third done. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us tonight. Though we belabor these things, Lord, it is not wrong. And though we gore them many times, it is not wrong, Lord. For there is nothing that will compare to or equal it knowing the grace that has been bestowed upon us, that you are here. We are indeed the flock of your pasture, Lord, with it under your hand. No way will there be any change. No way. For you descended with a shout, ready now, in short order, for the voice, and then the trumpet, and then coming back to reign and rule forevermore. Demonstrated, manifested. Oh, God, we just see every parallel of Alpha and Omega in our midst, and there is no way that there can be a mistake made. No way. Lord, we know that the devil will come in like a flood. Let him come. Because we have received that revelation deep down within us and become a part of it. And we're happy for it. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so glad that in these last days we can look up at you and look you in the face. And when we say we're so grateful, we mean that we're grateful, Lord. And oh, God, over all the years, you know from my heart, Lord, I mean it when I say it. I've not meant it for the years before. And you've given me privilege, Lord, of being back in those old days, my wife and I trying to live on just a few bucks a week. Now, Lord, we've got more than enough to take care of our desires and many times more than our wishes, though we don't wish for castles and things some people might wish for. But, Lord, that's not what makes us happy. That's not what makes us grateful, no way, shape, or form. But it's the mercy of Almighty God demonstrated, exhibited deep down within us. That's why we're grateful, Lord, and we can say tonight we're grateful, we're thankful. You know, we speak out of our hearts, O God, as we've not spoken maybe ever in our lives before. And we're so grateful tonight. We are so grateful, O God. And thank you for being with us, Lord. I know we stand here, Lord, ashamed in your presence as we realize the lack of the fruit, the lack of the character, all these things, but we know that's not it anyway. If we had a superabundance, we could lay it all, the carriage of all the world at your feet, would still sink into oblivion, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Going about to establish your own righteousness, of all fail to come under the righteousness of God, which is none other than just simply the baptism with the Holy Ghost, God Himself. And Lord, tonight it's so good to know these things. It is so marvelous, it is so wonderful. For years we saw it in Scripture and saw it in other men's works, stood back and knew it was true. And it was wonderfully true by observation, but to have it true by experience goes a million times further, Lord. Something like a man grasping and groping because he can barely see the light, knowing somebody out there has a wonderful pair of glasses that enable them to see. And it's very nice to know that someone in such a bad shape can have glasses to see, but how much more wonderful when those glasses are placed before his own eyes, and he can see. And we feel the same tonight, Lord. We're not talking anymore in the realms of what is wonderful out there and what is just marvelous if it could be obtainable. But speaking in terms, Lord, now, of having been made partakers of it, tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, and there's no falling away. No way, no way falling away. It's just marvelous. We thank you for it. We praise thee, O God. Just don't know how to praise you now, but we do praise you. One day, Lord, when this old flesh is changed, I know we'll really praise you the way we ought to praise you. In the meantime, accept our praise, Lord, from sincere hearts, O God, an understanding of grace and mercy. No more, Lord, amongst us any feeling or any thoughts, except He is here, and He is our all and our all. Blessed be the wonderful name of Jesus. Make us, O God, more and more open to your revelation, more and more wonderful. Whatever it's going to be, Lord. We're just anxious for more. And you said they that hunger and thirst should be filled, and we don't consider ourselves filled up yet, but we just thank you, Lord, for the fullness of yourself, which in due season will triumph over and overcome in such a way that we will say, in the same assurance we speak tonight of certain things, I and my Father are one. Be all over, O God. Stepping a little further into the resurrection down the line, sweet Spirit of God flowing in and through all the beloved of Jesus Christ, right on into immortality, swept on and on and on. We believe that, Lord. I'm convinced of it.
And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the old song said, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And that's the truth. You know, God's done them. We won't sing that song, but great things he has done. I just wish we were all a little bit more like the old shepherd. Say, hey, some tremendous thing is happening over there in Bethlehem. Come on, let's go. Let's get moving. That's where it is. The wise men came in and said, hey, where is he? Where is he? He's got to be here. They said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, they said, man alive, that's strange. We know he's here. You know, how is anybody going to tell us he's not here? Nobody's going to tell me he's not here. No, Lord, but let's sing, oh, how I love Jesus. We all, that's all the best goes on that because we do.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Brother Branham told us the gates of hell was against this revelation. And it is. But you know also, Melchizedek, after the heat of the battle, sat down with Abraham and served in communion. And we're in the heat of the battle tonight over the fact that he is here. Nobody wants to believe it, outside a few of the people like us. It'll be in dispute. It's going to cause the image to come against us. I'll prove you by scripture and show you that over in Isaiah one of these days. It squeezes on us. Don't think it isn't because it is. I can describe a lot of that to you too. But you know what? He's here serving communion. Whoa, what fellowship divine. I love that. See? I love it. See, I tell you what, I feel like the old prodigal son. Coming home, he said, well, maybe. And my dad, you know, I got a little bit of the smell of the pork on me. My dad just let me get in there somewhere and sort of be like one of the, you know, in the bunkhouse with the hired servants. And then father saw him coming. He said, hey, boy, he said, what's all this nonsense? Well, he said, father, I smell like the swine. He said, in fact, I kind of look like him because I've been eating like him. I'm in a real bad shape here. He said, who said you're in bad shape? Well, he said, everything seems to indicate by my past experience that's the way it is. He said, son, you're my son. He said, you come on in. He said, I'll fix you all up. Put a robe on his shoulder. Put rings on his fingers. Gave that boy back his very life and all. I kind of feel like that. I feel like that tonight. I'm trying to tell you again. It isn't character, look. You can be sweet as the day is long. I hope to God you are. I doubt if you are. But I hope you are. You can show forth a million things. But a father doesn't take care of us. Ain't nobody going to take care of. You believe that tonight? Can you? Amen. Let's sing then. Take the name of Jesus with you.